listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we get into the Bentley GT, which Matt and I romantically toured the coast in last week. Probably put 200 miles on that thing. That's a wild car. Also, the new Mustang Cobra GT with, I don't know, 760 horsepower. We'll get into that. I'll tell you about the time I drove off the tow truck, some hot motorcycle talk. First, Bet Online. Nothing to bet on, right? Wrong. Bet Online has hundreds of events and games and props to wager on. It'll bring Vegas to you. That's right. The mountain will come to Mohammed. Vegas can come to you, man. Online poker and blackjack 24/7. Plus, you can bet on stock prices, weather, even the Nathan's hot dog eating competition. That's on NASCAR. NASCAR's back. There's no one in the stands, but they're back. It's not going to stop you from picking a winner. MMA, of course. Bet Online, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Sign up for a free account with promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus. So get going with that. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. The Adam Carolla Show is going on the road. Next stop, Nashville, Tennessee. Clay Travis is joining me on Friday, and Podcast One's Caitlin Bristow from Off the Vine is going to be joining me as well for a Saturday show. And we're doing a special live stream. If you want to watch the pod and be part of the action, check out livexlive.com and get the Live by Live app. It's all happening this weekend, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. My Houston show had over 1 million views, and I'd be stoked if this one could surpass that number so we can do that with you. So it's going to be a great show. Make sure you tune in this Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Check out livexlive.com or download the Live by Live app.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
The evil bitch that is coronavirus may still be raging outside, but Corolla Drinks is hard at work with another month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a Beard Bro beard-shaping tool to tame that unruly corona facial hair, and a Chew face mask so you can silently protest how f***ing stupid all of this is, a 6-foot premium beer bong by beerbong.com so you can slug back a few cold, endless rants when the world officially opens up again, and of course, a bottle of your choice. We know times are tough, but we at Corolla Drinks are here to remind you to take a breath, have a drink, and wait for all this shit to be over. Mahalo.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, but get on a mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast, Matt Carolla. It's Matt the Moderator, D'Andrea.
How you doing?
Over there. I'm good. I'm busy, you know, running around, doing what I do.
Yeah.
Over at the other shop, Sean's wet sanding, getting ready to apply decals onto the tail, and they're also prepping the BRE 510 over there. I'm trying to get the stupid Monterey updates, and there's many facets of life I don't get.
Yeah, the Monterey thing is weird because so many people are just waiting and trying to decide, are we booking rooms? Are we getting a car ready? And it's like, guys, just talk to us. Like, let us know what's going on. How about a little bit more communication? Like a weekly update, like every Friday, pop out an email and go, we're meeting with the government or health officials. We're trying to source hand washing machines. Like, just tell us What's going on?
First off, there's nothing going on. There's just a bunch of people in the streets marching around. There's nothing happening. I don't you know what I was thinking about when I was driving over here? Why isn't the fucking zoo open?
Oh, I saw that sign.
Yeah, that sign is just that.
Oh, there's a sign?
The freeway sign.
The click it or ticket signs now say the LA Zoo is closed.
Just over here by the freeway. Closed.
I literally, that's coming the other direction. Yeah. I was just sitting at home and I just wrote, why is the zoo closed? It's outdoors. There's plenty of space. It also, you know, I don't care about the little people, but the zoo is where the poor kids go. That's their cheap ticket. Disneyland is an expensive ticket. You go to the LA Zoo, you see a lot of young brown faces there because it's an inexpensive way for the family to like go out and spend the day. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to drive to Anaheim and blah, blah, blah. Why isn't the zoo open? I know there's no plan, but why isn't there a plan? Yeah. Why don't you just go, what's the maximum capacity of the zoo? 2,000 people. Okay, make it 500.
Yeah.
And then you open it. Like, I'm in Nashville, as you hear this, doing stand-up. I don't know why the Comedy Store's closed. Zany's is open in Nashville.
Yeah.
The Improv's been open in Houston for a month and a half. Max Spada, how come we don't get to have a plan? What's so different about LA that we don't get to have a plan where everyone else has some sort of plan?
I don't ask me. I'm with you, man.
I imagine Irvine Improv is going to open much before Hollywood Improv, right? Like, I drove to Orange County last weekend to go get a steak in a restaurant.
It will, but every comedy club is opening around the country and has been open for weeks with a plan.
With a plan, right. Some are doing half capacity, some a little more, some a little less, but they're doing...
No, not a little less. Like, they started at half, they went up to three-quarter, and now if you want to go to Salt Lake City and do comedy, you can go to Salt Lake City, but you can't go to Melrose and do comedy if you live in Los Angeles.
It looks like, yes, zoos and museums, they're going to start reopening very soon, if not even today, but zoos will have to stop live animal shows unless they can ensure physical distancing and proper sanitation protocols.
That's science.
Distance from what? From the rhinos?
The crowd.
Yeah, the audience.
All right.
Anyway.
Whatever. I heard productions, I guess TV and film, going to start June 12th.
Okay.
And I don't know how they're going to do that, but they're just going
to everyone has to yell, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free, and then they have to walk around every telephone pole twice. So says the mayor.
Yeah.
I just love...
Not together, though.
I love the science of the non-science. We just did the test. Everyone hit the streets over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening. Okay. All right. Can we please not be such fucking colossal pussies about everything?
The point is we want to go to Monterey to an outdoor event.
And I keep talking to the guy at Monterey, and I'm going, what is going on? I heard it was closed down. He's like, you didn't hear from us. And then they go, we're having a meeting on Monday, maybe Tuesday. Yeah. Then we're going to find out. And I'm like, okay. Meanwhile, they want the paperwork. They want the deadline for the paperwork, the deadline for the picture of the car, the deadline for paying them, and all that. Yeah, but they won't say whether the thing is on or off.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre way to conduct business. What about accommodations? What about the Airbnb?
So the way it's working out is the deadline to submit stuff, your cars, is going to expire before they officially announced the event, right? So
yes.
So in a week from now or however long, when they say, hey, the race is on, everyone's going to be like, oh, but we can't submit a car now. We've been waiting for you to tell us. And now they're going to have to do that. Well, we're going to extend the registration. It's why didn't you just do all this before?
Why not just declare it's on? I don't get it. You can figure out the tickets or the capacity later. Just announce the race is on.
Sounds like we're going either way.
They're having other events at the track.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about J.B. Weld. I want to thank J.B. Weld for being a sponsor of the Adam Carolla Show. Epoxy adhesive brand used by pros and DIYers for over 50 years. You can get it at jbweld.com and Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Home Depot. It's everywhere. All right, and we use it here. Let's see. So you are driving the Mustang.
Yeah, the Shelby GT500. So we drove the Bentley. We ended up doing we did a little bit of a local road trip. We had some stuff to do. We drove around. And my comment on that was the car is great, and the platform being the Panamera platform now is so good. And it just felt like every mile we end up putting on that car, we kind of liked it more and more. And what's not to love? The interior is fantastic, and the diamond stitch and ventilated seats and massage. And
I had that on the whole time.
You know, it just the car is great, and it works, and it's fast, and it's smooth, and
it's a ton of car, and the interior is really impressive, obviously. And the dash panel that had the sort of flip around like the James Bond license plate kind of move, where you could go full screen or you could go like old school analog.
Yeah, yeah.
It's spectacular. And it's got this really nice balance between sort of tactile. I don't like for instance, at some point in the 80s or 90s, like all the stereos switched their volumes from knobs to buttons. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a bad idea. I want a volume knob.
Yeah.
Just like I want a tachometer that's not digital. I want an arrow. Like there's certain things that just aren't broken. Don't fix them. And then so with a car, you have this balance. You have a balance between like an analog, like when you turn the vents on and off, you know, do you want a button, or you want like a rod that has something positive to it, you know, where you can feel it, you know, and they balance that nicely in that car.
And a lot of cars I get in, and the AC vents and things like that, you're right, specifically it has to have a good amount of tension on it. It can't feel too light and plasticky and like it's going to flop around. And
right.
Or you hit a speed bump on the 405 and now the vents are pointing at the ceiling. Like
right.
You want a little bit of feedback to it. And yeah, and then they do step it up. You know, instead of like plastic or a piece of tin, you know, for the speaker covers, that was like all machined billet.
Yeah,
you know, that's some really, there's some pretty nice pieces. A lot of aluminum trim on the buttons and stuff.
It's hard to fake your way through a good interior, and that interior is spectacular. And obviously, driving up and down PCH and Malibu and the coast, you know, no better car to do it in than that car. It was missing a sunroof, and I'm not normally a sunroof guy, but I could have used the sunroof in that on that day.
Yeah,
spectacular weather.
Doesn't have
day.
To. We kept putting the windows down, but even a little bit of light would have been, you know, like just, you know, if it didn't even open. It's funny because we talk about these cars and we say a lot of times on, you know, maybe you should pick one up used. You'd definitely be saving some money. And especially now, so a friend of mine has been wanting a Rolls-Royce Dawn for a while, the big convertible. Lives out in Arizona. You know, it's nice in summer, it's crazy hot, but it's nice to drop the top and when the sun goes down over there.
Mm-hmm.
And looked around forever and found a Rolls-Royce Dawn in California, down in San Diego area.
Mm-hmm.
Fully optioned out.
Mm-hmm.
$378,000. And somebody, they wouldn't say who, but it was a well-known wealthy celebrity had ordered a Dawn,
mm-hmm.
but it was going to take, you know, it's supposed to take 10 months or something for it to be custom built. So he said, okay, well, I want this one. Why don't I drive this one for the almost a year?
And hold on. The
celebrity said that.
Yeah.
And because they're not selling a lot right now, they ended up building his car quicker. It took 5 months, so he gave back the loaner Dawn and got his new Dawn. So now they have a Rolls-Royce Dawn sitting in the showroom, used, for sale, with only 800 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend called over there and negotiated. He says, look, this is my price. You call me back when you sell it for that price. $278,000. $100,000 off sticker.
Wow.
For 800 miles on the car. It's still under warranty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we talk about buying used cars, and we've, you, you, you could really see it, unfortunately, but you see it in the expensive British cars that don't seem to hold their value as well, which is crazy because they're getting better and better. The Bentley's fantastic. The Rolls-Royce we drove is great. The Aston Martin that we just drove, the Superleggero, is gorgeous and fast and
yeah.
Worked.
Well, there's a new version, a new category, as I think about it, of used car. Like when I was a kid, when I was young, when my family would buy a used car, and that's what we did, we bought used cars, or even when I would buy a used pickup truck, like that thing was used.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You'd buy that thing, and 10 minutes after you got it, it would always be the battery went bad, like in the first week. The clutch would go out like in the first week. I mean, that was the small stuff, but it would always
brakes
be,
start squeaking and getting worried about that. And tires are bad.
It's always like it needs two front tires. Yeah. You know, like I bought used shit, and my family bought used stuff. You know, I mean, my sister owned a Dodge Dart. She like paid like $50, $200 for it. You know, like I mean, when my family bought cars, they weren't doing it in increments of thousands. It was increments of hundreds.
Yeah.
And my mom buy VW Squareback for $750, you know, and that shit needed work.
What? It needed work when it was new.
I drove my sister's car to Tijuana. The thing blew up in like San Diego, and I junked it in San Diego. I just came home. I came home with no car.
Yeah.
And the car was worth $40. I got $40 for it.
Was there any other follow up? Was there like somebody got registration or a license plate or a VIN number, or somebody just probably took it and brought it to Mexico and owned it? They got a free car.
I took it to I got about as far as San Juan Capistrano on a road trip to Tijuana. The car blew up. I mean, really threw a rod, kind of blew up, and I pulled it off. I think I pulled it off on like the side of the freeway and limped it down like the ramp of one of those side streets that runs by the freeway or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just parked it. And, you know, we walked a mile to a phone booth and got someone to pick us up. And we made it to Tijuana.
I was going
to
say, you didn't cancel the trip, though, right?
We went in a Toyota, and it was like five dudes in a Toyota Corolla, like old school two door, you know, like tough. Size-wise, but we made it to Tijuana. We made it back. I came back like 3 days later. I had like somebody drive me out to where I could try to find the car where my sister's car was. I had like five parking tickets on it, but you know, who cares? I somehow found some junkyard or something, wrecking yard, like somewhere in the neighborhood. And I remember I remember this weird thing. I always had it in my head that you could junk your car for $50. That was like the going rate. Like I took it to the junkyard. I got $50. And I remember this guy just going, all right, I'll give you $40. And I was like, I thought the rule was you got $50.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, it was a Nova or something, or it was a Dodge Dart. It was kind of a medium-sized car back then. It wasn't a big car.
Yeah.
Like the big cars are $50. You got a Dodge Dart. That's $40. And I was like, okay. And he gave me the $40. And I don't know. I just rode my motorcycle home. And then I just showed up to my sister's house. I was like, or wherever.
Here's
where
$22
the fuck
bucks.
My sister lived. No, I just came. I just go, here's $40. And that was it. That was it.
Because my thought was California would be pissed, right? Because it's California. So they'd be like, oh, we're just gonna start fining you and ticketing you and towing you until
the car
$3,000 in fees on a thing that's worth $40.
The car was like, I don't know if it was ever registered in anyone's name or anything. The thing about California is you can get a parking ticket. They don't have enough people anymore to like enforce anything. Like you get pulled over, you're here illegally. They used to confiscate your car and put it in the compound. Now they just go, who cares? They can't really enforce their own laws. They got too many laws and not enough enforcement, not enough humans to enforce all their laws. So they just kind of go, fuck it.
Except all the towing
I meant impound.
It's the privatized version of that. Like when you're parking at an apartment complex or a Home Depot parking lot and the sign says you'll be towed, that's the guy who's going to get his money because they're going to call, they're going to get a towed, and that guy's going to be behind, you know, the bank teller window so he doesn't get shot and be like, it's $700 to get your car out of jail.
Oh, it's a whole...
And it's $300 a day, so you better hurry up.
It's a whole racket out because Geragos is suing a towing company.
Good.
Because he...
Good, that makes me happy. Makes me so happy.
He goes into... Think about the whole racket. The racket... The one racket, or one of the many rackets in SoCal is... There is no public transportation, so they know your car is kind of your life's blood, right? And if they get your car, they just got your car. I've had three motorcycles towed in my life, so I know what it's like to have a motorcycle towed. Oh, two of them were my motorcycle; the other one was someone else's motorcycle. But either way, I was responsible for three motorcycles being towed. They tow it once you show up. When you show up, I had one motorcycle towed because I lent it to my buddy Umgad. He rode it to UCLA. They went to UCLA. They stole the license plate at UCLA.
Huh.
Then he brought it back to North Hollywood where I live and just parked it on the street in front of my apartment building. I know right where he parked it. There's a picture of me, the one standing in my bathrobe in front of my truck. And that's my Honda 404. They ripped the license plate off. They did the whole sweep tow thing. It ends up in the North Hollywood impound lot. I'm like saying to the cop or whoever, they shouldn't have towed my motorcycle. Somebody stole my license plate. And the cop was saying, yeah, they should have checked the VIN number to see that it was registered or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cop was like, they made a mistake. And so it's like, I'm at the impound yard going, hey, I need my motorcycle back. These guys made a mistake. And they're like, I don't care. $80.
Yeah, they don't care.
$80. And also their thing is like, it's $80 a day.
Yeah.
And then you're like, and then they're like, it's 2 days. And you go, whoa. Came in 11:45 last night. Now it's 7:30. You know, Monday night. Now it's Tuesday morning, 7:45. Yeah. And the guy's like, yeah, 2 days.
Yeah.
Monday, then Tuesday. I was like, 8 hours. Yeah, I remember, you know what I said to the guy? Because I was always kind of a comedic dick. I was like, so you're charging for 2 days, even though it's been 9 hours? And they're like, yeah, came in on Monday. You know, today's Tuesday, 2 days. And we're not going to release it. You got to pay us for 2 days. And I just said to him, why don't you just charge for 4 days?
Yeah.
Like, as long as you have the shit.
Yeah.
As long as you're lying. As long as you have no rules, essentially. Why don't you fucking go for broke? Just charge for 2 years. It's just whatever. Just you're making your shit up as you go. Just go ahead. So Geragos is suing a tow company because it's a fucking racket.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls into like, you know, Coffee Bean, Tea Leaf or whatever. He pulls into like the 20-minute zone. He goes in and gets his iced coffee. He goes walking out 11 minutes later. And the tow truck's hooking him up, right? And he's like, hey, I haven't been here 20 minutes. And the tow truck guy's like, hey, man, tell it to the boss, man. You've been here for more than 20 minutes. And Gareth's like, no, I haven't. And it's like, well, we're towing you. And it's like, oh, I see your fucking racket. You just come in and tow people's cars. And then once your car is in the fucking impound lot, you can lawyer up, you can petition your city councilman, or you can walk home. Or you can fucking give me money right now and take your car, because I'm not giving it to you.
There's
until you
nothing
pay me.
More secure than the impound lot. You can't get in. By the way, when you walk in, there's not a menu on the wall going day one, $40, day two, you know, an extra $40. They can say whatever number they want. Like you said, they could charge you for 4 days if it's two, or they could just go, oh, it is 2 days. You're right, but it's $100 a day now instead of $40 a day.
They have like, your car. So
they can just do whatever they want.
Geragos is onto their shit, and he's like, oh, I see what you guys do.
Yeah.
And this kicks the shit out of the poor people who need their vehicle, don't have any resources or recourses, and they just got to go, fuck it. I just got to eat it. I mean, I had one cop get me off of the motorcycle, writes me a ticket on Laurel Canyon, And it was one of those on Laurel Canyon, right as it comes down and flattens out toward the valley, there's a couple of these little side streets that are just cul-de-sacs, you know, and he pulled me over and we pulled off to the side street. He was writing me a ticket. I didn't have a motorcycle license. I just had a driver's license, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, gotta tow the bike. And I'm like, can I just push it over to the side? We were on a side street. It's like a residential area. There's no signs out front or no parking, no business zone or anything. I go, I'll just park it right here and I will just hitchhike home. I'll go get my temp license. And he's like, towing it. I'm like, can I just park it? I'll give you the keys. Hold the keys. I'll park it. I'll go get my temp from the whatever, and I'll go get it.
Yeah.
And he's like, calling the tow truck. And I was like, so they towed the fucking bike to the North Hollywood place. I hitchhiked home. Then I had to like hitchhike to the DMV, but I didn't have a motorcycle to take.
To do the test.
Yeah. So I just took a temporary written test, and they gave me a temporary motorcycle license. Then I had to hitchhike to the fucking tow yard, show them the temporary thing, give them $80. Then they released a bike. Then I was back riding the bike the same day.
Yeah.
I don't know what my skill set. I don't know how much
now,
I improved.
Did you go back to the DMV to do the driving test?
Yeah, because they give you a temporary license.
Yeah, but there was the idea of you just going, I got the temp license, got my bike out of jail, now I'm not doing anything anymore.
Well, it's
good. It
doesn't
good, prevent you the, from the, getting the, pulled over again the, with the same situation, but...
The temp license was good for like 72 hours or something,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you're going to get pulled
so
over
the way
again.
They do it is they probably made you pay for the license to give you the temp one, and then you go back and you do the driving test, you don't owe more money because you've already paid. Right?
Whatever it is, they just want money.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, that's probably the third and last motorcycle I've had towed. Who else had three motorcycles towed? Legitimately towed.
I have no idea. Do you think the tow companies profile the vehicle? If the Starbucks guy calls and says, somebody's in my spot over here, you need to tow him. And the guy goes, what kind of car is it? And he says, Mazda mini truck. Tow guy goes, I'll be there in 45 minutes. But if you said BMW X5, he'd be like, I'll be there in 7.5 minutes.
Well, driving off the tow truck is still the greatest accomplishment in my adult life. Far outweighs my twins or any professional accomplishments I've ever had.
Yeah.
I had a great conversation.
It's a proud moment.
When the guy's like, hey, man, the guy had my M3 hooked up, and he's like, hey, man, I got the call. I hooked it up. I can't come back without a car. And I just went, hey, what does it ever happen that you get a call to go tow a car in like a red zone or handicap or something, and then you show up and the car's gone? And he's like, all the time.
Yeah.
I was like, let's just make that one of these times then. He's like, can't do it.
Can't do it. What do you mean, can't do it?
Had his girlfriend in the fucking car. Every time he got in the truck, I got in the M3 and I just hit that brake. I knew I had more. I knew the front wheels had more ballast, you know, more braking in them. And that guy would just drag me. He would drag me for like 20 feet. And then he'd stop and he'd be all pissed off. And he'd get out of the car and he'd come yell at me again. And then I'd get out of the car and I'd yell at him again. And then he'd go back to his pickup truck and jump in it again. And I'd run back and jump in my car again. And he just kept, he'd drag me. And then he'd get back out of the car and he'd start fucking yelling at me again. And then at some point, there's a guy named Tom who was a producer, a director at the Man Show, who was kind of insane.
Mm-hmm.
He did really nutty things, and he was doing a show about chimps on like the Animal Planet or something, and they had like a big meeting at the boardroom or something, and they were telling him shit they wanted him to do, and he literally pulled his dick out and just said, everyone, blow him. You know, like he was nuts. Tom was nuts. But he directed all the Man Show chimpanzee stuff we did because he knew how to do chimp. He was good at a bunch of stuff.
How many of those did you do? Was he a full-time employee?
Yeah, he did other stuff too. And he just came running out from the billiards place we're all drinking pitchers of beer at after the Man Show. And he just ran up to me and he's like, unlash the tires. Unlash the tires. I got this one. You got that one. He's like, push me, you know? And I was like, okay. And we just ran and he just undid the tie down that was holding the tires onto the thing. He just undid it, pulled it apart, like threw it and started running. You know what I mean? And I just undid it. And he goes, get in the car. And he goes, go. I just fucking fired that thing up, drove right off that thing.
Was his dick out the whole time?
I don't think I would have driven off it. He just showed up and was like, go, go. And he unlashed it.
Now, tow driver, his girlfriend was in the truck the whole time?
Yeah.
That's a good date.
That's a good woman. Those tow trucks, the kind that have the fork that lift up the back of the car, they must just have big, there was maybe like 4-inch, 5-inch wide, just like tie downs that like held the back tires onto like the cup, the spoon kind of shape of the thing.
Yeah. It kind of clips around the tire and then they can, you know, like a quick jack kind of thing and it goes around it. And then, you just strap it on. And it's weird that they, you know, and they just drag the car. So much as flatbeds these days.
Yeah. This wasn't, this
probably
was
probably because of you.
This is
you made every AAA guy and tow guy get a flatbed.
This is, and you know, the car's rear wheel drive and it's at 5-speed, you know, so it's like I had to rock it a little bit. I had to work that clutch, you know, because to get it off the car.
Yeah.
I just drove home and I just went home. I just pulled in the garage, shut the garage real fast, like went up in the house, shut the lights, you know. I was waiting for the
What, hit under the bed?
Like I thought the cops were showing up.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew the guy had my driver's license. My license plate.
Oh, he had the plate. He didn't.
He had the plate. I thought the guy was going to run the plate, you know, call the cops, run the plate, and fucking call a cruiser to come to my home or wherever the fucking thing was registered. I thought for sure the guy was going to dime me out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like a lot of work for the cops.
It does, and the guy and his girlfriend was probably like, what set the guy off is like, at some point, I said, why are you being an asshole? That's what I said to him, why are you being an asshole?
Yeah,
but she, Max Patty, you're looking at a car that has wheels under the front wheel, goofball.
Yeah, they got the drag around wheels.
That's how you know that one ain't the right one. This is no front. Nothing under the front, just a big fork in the back. In the back, they lifted it up pretty high. It was up like 36 inches probably. And I guess back then they just lash it down. Anyway, it's really the best thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
That's the night of my life.
It's good to have a wingman, crazy wingman over there.
Put one small scratch in the rear bumper, one fine.
Yeah.
Kind of deepish, right in the middle, just straight up and down. And the
spare tire
thing was all pushed in.
Yeah.
We just jumped on it.
Just pop it out.
Yeah.
You got a spare tire back in there?
Oh, yeah.
The spare tire like popped into the trunk? It was just like.
Yeah, the spare tire, the basically the well where the spare tire was went from being an innie to an outie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It got pushed all out. And I remember really well the next day I was over at like the party house with to play basketball with like my buddies and my big dude buddy Chris showed up and I was like, this all jacked up, whatever. I had the spare tire out at that point. He goes, let me see that. And he just opened the trunk and he jumped up into the back of where the tire well was and he just started hot bouncing up and down and just pushed it. It just popped back. Literally just popped back down.
Yeah.
The car was a lease. I turned it in a year later. It was like nothing. They didn't find anything or there was no demerits or anything for the driving off a tow truck.
I don't know if the dented spare tire well is on their checklist.
Yeah.
Of things to find.
As I recall, like once he popped it back into place, it just kind of went back into place.
Yeah. If the metal wasn't cracked or anything, it's probably fine. It's good that it probably absorbed a lot of the shock. That's what it was. That and the spare tire.
I don't know. I don't know what it hit on the way down. Maybe obviously something was in the middle.
Yeah.
That it made contact with on the way down. I don't know what that was.
Well, I think that thing that scoops up the rear tires is like a T, right? So there's like a middle one big, you know, piece of steel, and then it tees out to get underneath the tires, and it probably hit that.
Yeah.
That was probably pointed up some, and it, you know.
It was easy. I didn't stall it. I didn't like burn up the clutch. It was pretty one quick move. I just started it, threw a couple of revs at it, popped it in first, and pretty much dropped the clutch. Like I didn't have to negotiate that much. I wasn't like feathering it or anything too much. I just pretty much popped it, and it just went. And I didn't do like a couple of rocked back and forth or stalled it or anything. It was pretty easy.
Was the guy standing next to her, or was he in the truck? Was he trying to drive away? Was this sort of a tug of war thing? Or he was yelling at your friend, you can't do that. You can't touch it. You're grabbing the...
I don't remember his involvement. I remember he went into the cab of the truck.
Yeah.
Maybe he was dealing with his old lady or something. I remember what finally set him off. I just went... I said to him, look, can I just pay you or whatever? And he just went, it's too late or something. And then I said...
He would say, normally, yes, you can bribe me, but now I'm mad.
I said, why are you being an asshole? And he went, oh, that's it now. Like, I offended him. And so once I offended him, he said, oh, now it's on or whatever. Or like maybe he was going to call dispatch or something. But he went back to the truck and he was like, now it's on. And as he started back to the truck, that's when Tom was like, unlash it. And so we unlashed it in 15 seconds or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got in the truck and he shut the door and he like fired up the truck or whatever it is. And I just fired it up.
He's going to call dispatch. That's his move. I'm going to call dispatch. Okay.
I don't know. Again, he had his wife with him or his girlfriend. I don't know. He didn't have it was kind of pre-cell phone. I don't think he had a cell phone. Mm-hmm. But best day of my life, people. Yeah.
All right, let me tell you guys about Geico. Though we're apart these days, we are sharing more, and Geico would just like to say thanks for that. Thanks for all sharing for all your fun videos. I see a lot of car videos, garage tours, and for some reason a lot of dog videos. But anyway, thanks for that. And Geico wants to share as well with the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because Geico is committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. So just go to geico.com/giveback. For more info, that's geico.com/giveback.
All right. So the Bentley was cool. Shelby GT500's a lot of car.
I just picked it up, and we talked about this months ago when I went out to Vegas for the Ford event, and they had a bunch, you know, they had a dozen of these things. Drove it around a little, hit the road course, hit the drag strip, did the launch control, and... And now that they got them in the press fleet, I was like, let's drive it around town and see how it is. And one of the things that I've mentioned, you've brought this up now too as well after, you know, the Mustang Bullitt, is these cars, these muscle cars now, even though this one is a little bit on the higher end, it's 80 grand, goes up to 100 grand with the carbon fiber track pack and the carbon fiber wheels and all that stuff. But it still has a lot of the same features of the GT or the Bullitt or the Performance Pack. They're so good now. I mean, you have launch control and the Christmas tree feature that's in there for the drag launch. And it's got adjustable suspension and MagnaRide and adjustable steering feedback. And you can separately change the suspension, or you can do the sport mode, the normal mode, the track mode. You can open the exhaust. You can make the exhaust quiet. You can make it loud. You can put it in normal mode. You can program the exhaust that if you want to start it up in the morning to go to work, it'll start in quiet mode, so not annoy everybody. Mm. And then an hour later or whatever, or the next time you start it, it'll be in loud mode.
Like, that's nice.
It's like all of these things were features of the high-end performance cars, M5s, M4s, M3s, or whatever, and the super luxury cars. And now you can spend 50 grand you know, or even less, and get all of these features in that car. The drag launch mode has a Christmas tree on the dash, and you can adjust the RPMs at what you want to launch. So if you're going to a drag strip and you feel like it's just a little bit stickier, you want to add, you know, 2,500 RPM instead of 2,200 RPM, you can dial the thing in. And, it, you know, these cars can do almost anything. Now, this one is 760 horsepower, supercharged.
Wow.
And now it has the only transmission option is a 7-speed DCT dual clutch transmission. It's a paddle shift. So you could pop it in an automatic mode, but it's made by Tremec, the same guys that do all the manual transmissions. They basically create a 7-speed with a proper dual clutch. And that's, you know, and you could paddle shift there, or you know, you could drive it around, but it's fantastic.
What's the sticker on that?
They start at about 80,000, and I think you can go to 100, I don't know, 101, 105, something like that. The carbon track pack, it's carbon fiber wheels and a different wing and the rear seat delete, is a pretty big option. It's like an $18,000 option. But you don't have to do that. The one that I'm driving is the street version, which is great around town, and I think the sticker on that is 81,000. So it's, and look, when you hear it and drive it, it's fantastic. And when you open the hood, it still has a little show offiness, you know, like it's a car guy, car girl's engine. You open the hood and you see the big supercharger, and it's got the heat sink on it, and you know it's got the, you know, Cobra on it, and the, you know, the Shelby logo, and it's not all completely covered up. You know, we open the hood of the Bentley, and you're like, yeah, it's a big plastic piece that says Bentley, and it's cool, and they don't want you to touch it. I get it, but this is kind of fun, and it's interesting at 760 horsepower. That's, you know, you're a good tune, maybe some 93 octane and a K&N air filter away from 800.
I guess, yeah. That sounds bonkers, but yeah, I guess. I supercharging is probably a little less tunable than turbocharging for extra horsepower.
Well, you could change the blower pulley. You can just change out the boost if you want. You can do some
timing.
Can
you change up the boost?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I don't know how. I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
you're right.
You can't dial in the boost like you could on a turbo.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the blower pulley.
Yeah,
but on a turbo car, you can mess with the tune and not have to mechanically screw around with things.
Yeah, you could probably pop off the belt, swap a blower pulley in 30 minutes, and then you would do a new tune to go with it, right?
Wouldn't you have to get a bigger belt too?
Yeah, there's probably kits available, right, that include just a belt and a pulley, maybe a puller, like a little, because some of those pulleys are pressed on. I don't know if they still are. The older Cobras were.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, anyway, I don't know. Look, I don't want to sound like my mom, but 760 horsepower is enough now.
we took it to the drag strip, and they basically run them bone stock. And there's guys there from Ford saying, oh, let's try 2,500 RPM. Let's try 2,400 RPM. Let's put it in the launch control. Just watch the little Christmas tree, and then we'll run it, and we'll show your time. And, I mean, people that have never been out there are running 1140s, 1150s, and if you've done it a few times, you're 1120. You're running 1120s in the quarter mile. And then somebody was good, you know, one of the guys that is a big Mustang drag racer guy, he went out there and launched it on his own without the launch control, just trying to get the best. 1055.
Wow.
And a bone stock. We didn't change the tire pressure. Just went out there and ran 1055s. That thing is quick.
Wow. It's you know, I was thinking, so my son turns 14, doesn't give two shits about cars, but when I was turning 14, it was like, oh, gas is going through the roof, we may be out of gas, every car was detuned for smog. We didn't know how to deal with the smog requirements. You know, you're picturing the 1978 Corvette or Mustang, and everything was like a slug and fat and slow. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, God, I'll never have a fast car. Like, we're good. And by the way, all I could tell is we went from 60s muscle, you know, mid 60s, mm-hmm. late 60s, and it's just been a slide ever since then. Like, that graph was going down.
It was, yeah.
And it was going one direction down. You know, there was a 70s, you know, late 60s big block Corvette and some fastback Mustangs or Mach 1s or something. And it had been a decade, and that arrow was just going straight down. Yeah. And I was, like, doing the math. Like, oh, I'll never have something cool. And here we go. Here we are.
You know, but to balance it out, they're going to have to sell, you know, they'll come up with a way to sell a Mustang Mach-E electric vehicle for every, you know, GT 500 right. or Mach 1 or GT 350 that they sell.
For cafe.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about JB Weld DIY projects to get through. Want to save some money, want to avoid paying the repairman. Yeah, you don't want that guy all full of germs trouncing around your house.
Yeah.
No way. JB Weld, big or small products, repairs, home repairs, garage repairs, ordinary household glue. Well, it's ordinary. It's got the word ordinary in it. We're proud to have JB Weld as a sponsor. They're great. I know the owner. We hung out at SEMA a couple of years back. Hung out, went over to the booths, started chatting the guy up, trying to get some free epoxy, man. You yeah. know my move. They've been around for over 50 years, proudly made in the U.S. I use their stuff for everything, and they make everything now. So when I was coming up, it was JB Weld. It's like, you know, muffler repair.
Yeah, yeah. Now they got the two-part epoxies, the super glues. They have all kinds of stuff. Loctites and all kinds of.
Yeah, it's good for wood, plastic, metal, and more. JB Weld, available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more. Don't glue it. JB Weld it. All right, Nashville, Tennessee, tonight and tomorrow, I'm doing two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and we'll do a live podcast there and a stand-up as well. Book signing, my new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It is out this Tuesday, but if you're in Nashville, come to a signing at the club, 5 o'clock on Saturday. We'll do that. Pre-order the book. It just helps, and it'll show up on Tuesday. The audiobook's all done. You got to get them both because they're so different. The audiobook's did a lot of jagging on, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you're getting the DVD commentary.
Right. And you can check out Chassis, our channel on Pluto TV. Chassis is 585. We got a lot of cool car stuff up there. Matt, what do you got?
I'll post some more pictures of the Bentley and the GT500. Try to get some videos so you can hear the thing. Follow me at Motorator on social media.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll from Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Let me tell you guys about Geico. Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. And Geico would just like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your dance moves, your DIY haircut fails, and your inner lip sync star. Now it's Geico's turn to share as well with the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. And because Geico's committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info. That's geico.com/giveback.